Good morning, everybody. And a very warm welcome to you on this Remembrance Day. It's lovely to have you with us, and especially some of the rainbows. It's very nice to have you here. Thank you. Right, I'll hand over to Dave and Holly.
Good morning. It is a glorious morning out today compared to yesterday, which was disgusting. Absolutely disgusting weather yesterday. This year, as it is the 75th anniversary of the end of the Second World War, we have been asked by the British Legion to remember in our services and activities the shared communal heritage that we have with people across the world who have experienced the conflict. In particular, for me, over the last couple of days, I've been reflecting on how it may have been 75 years for our country since the war, but in Berlin, for some people, it's only been 30. 30 years ago yesterday, the wall came down. There is tomorrow, if you wish to attend Remembrance Day service as opposed to Remembrance Sunday service, there is a service in the Memorial Garden at 10:45, so just along the road a bit. We come here to worship God today. Loving God, we come to you, bringing with us a world torn apart by cruelty, selfishness, and hatred, to pray for strength, to strive for your kingdom, to pray that in your love all might be made one. In the name of love victorious, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We start our singing this morning with number 185, and I hope you're all in fine voice, To Sing We the King.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Creator God, we praise you for the immensity of your love, the love that brought the universe to birth, the love that designed and ordered our world, the love that breathed life into humankind. Creator God, we praise you for the immensity of your love. Saving God, we praise you for the endurance of your love, the love that came to share our human life, the love that died for us on the cross, the love that triumphed over hatred and death. Saving God, we praise you for the endurance of your love. Strengthening God, we praise you for the power of your love. The love that brought your church to life. The love that transforms hearts and minds. The love that dares and cares and unites. Strengthening God, we praise you for the power of your love. God, forgive us when in our personal relationships we lose sight of the ideals of forgiveness and reconciliation and take delight in feeling aggrieved, stirring up bad feeling and planning retaliation for wrongs inflicted on us. Forgive us when in community and national matters, we lose hope of healing between different factions and feel that we are powerless, can take no responsibility, can play no part. Forgive us our apathy, our lack of passion. Forgive us when, in international relationships, we lose a sense of perspective and project our own darkness onto other people's. Forgive our feeling that violent disputes and wars are inevitable and that the amassing of weapons is necessary. Forgive us and grant us clearer vision, hope in the power of love, and a perspective rooted in your gift of reconciliation, that we may know that you call us to be peacemakers in our thinking and our use of language, in our actions, and in our receiving and reflecting of your grace. Lord, we give you thanks for visions of peace. When swords shall be beaten into plowshares, and people shall live at peace and unafraid. When the river of life will flow from you, lined by trees, whose leaves will be for the healing of the nations. When you will be with your people in the midst of them. When all will know you, and your law will be written on their hearts. We thank you that we see this beginning in Jesus. In him, national divisions break down, for there is no longer Jew or Greek. In him, social divisions break down, for there is no longer slave or free. In him, the division between God and humanity is broken down. For he is human and divine. Father, we thank you that the reconciling begun in Christ does not ignore the struggles or pain of life, but works through them to bring renewal. We thank you that he came as one of us, shared our common life, died and rose again. We thank you that your Spirit assures us that from this new beginning, peace and justice will grow until all creation is taken up in dynamic harmony with you. Amen. Our second hymn is number 513, which is a beautiful hymn from the Iona community. Take this moment, sign and space, take my friends around, here amongst us make the place where your love is found. As we've mentioned, today is Remembrance Sunday, and I have a little thing here that, well, I'm going to ask some questions. The rainbows are very welcome to answer, but as is everybody else in the congregation, for we are all young at heart. What colour poppy do we normally wear on a day like today? Red, yes. The British Legion this year have changed their definition of the poppy. It previously was only about servicemen and women in the conflicts, but red poppies will commemorate all civilians who lost their lives in war from this year on, the Royal British Legion has said, and they will also be worn to remember victims of terrorist attacks. That was something that came out in the news, I think, the middle of last month, so I thought it was but also, some people wear white poppies. Do you know, anybody here know why people would wear a white poppy? Yes. For peace. They're produced by the Peace Pledge Union. And they were actually produced as early as the 1930s, and some women would wear them to work and actually lost their jobs because of it. If you saw someone wearing a purple poppy, what was that? What does that represent? Sorry? No, it's to represent the animals killed in the war. Some people, they have also produced a purple paw print because some people felt the poppies were related too much to seeing animals as people, things who gave their lives, whereas actually some people also see them as victims of war. So some, but both are acceptable. Last year, they brought out a... I'm going to be pronouncing this wrong, and Raj is not here to correct me, which is unfortunate. A Kahadi poppy. K-H-A-D-I. Which is made of the cloth that Gandhi spun, or cloth similar to what Gandhi wore, and is to represent the Indian, the contribution of Indian soldiers during World War I. Poppies are odd things. They grow naturally in conditions of disturbed earth throughout Western Europe. Now, I don't know whether my garden is disturbed earth, but I have brought with me some poppy seeds from my garden from the last 3 or 4 years. And if you would like to at the end, please do take a bag of poppy seeds and plant them in your garden, out in the wild, wherever you want to go and remember. I'm going to read a poem. I don't know the author. There is no author credited on the internet. It's called The Inquisitive Mind of a Child. Why are they selling poppies, Mummy? Selling poppies in town today. The poppies, child, are flowers of love for the soldiers who marched away. But why have they chosen a poppy, Mummy, not a beautiful rose? Because, my child, the soldiers fought and died in the fields where the poppies grow. But why are the poppies so red, Mummy? Why are the poppies so red? Red is the colour of blood, my child, the blood that our soldiers shed. The heart of the poppy is black, Mummy. Why does it have to be black? Black, my child, is the symbol of grief for the soldiers who never came back. But why, Mummy, are you crying so? Your tears are giving you pain. My tears are my fears for you, my child, for the world is forgetting again. As we come towards our readings, we're going to sing hymn number 160.
Thank you.
is from Micah chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and people will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, declares the Lord, I will gather the lame, I will assemble the exiles and those I have brought to grief. I will make the lame my remnant, those driven away a strong nation. The Lord will rule over them in Mount Zion from that day and forever. As for you, watchtower of the flock, stronghold of daughter Zion, the former dominion will be restored to you, and kingship will come to daughter Jerusalem. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. You know, it's a trade secret of preachers and ministers that there are some Sundays we dread preaching on. And you know, when Holly and I first talked about this morning's service, and I said to Holly, "What do you want to do?" She said, "You can do the sermon." So here I am. And you know what? When you do lead a service, when you do preach on Remembrance Sunday, it's a little bit like driving on a bumpy road. We kind of know all about that in Surrey with the potholes, don't we? Can't you wait for the next 3 months or so as the winter hits? Won't it be great? And there's a couple of real bumps that there may be more that hit us when we come together on Remembrance Sunday. What one is this? When I started out many years ago as a local preacher, when I was younger then than Holly is now, I used to be one of the few people in the church who had no memory of World War. But of course, as we've gone along, and as we've got further and further from even the Second World War, there are fewer and fewer of us who were part of it. Even when my dad died 2 years ago, he was just too young to have been called up. So it's a bit of a problem, isn't it, remembering when you weren't there. So that's the first bump. The other bump in the road I find is this. It's that when Christians talk about war and peace, we disagree with each other. We've got loads of different views on it. There are those Christians who believe that we should just be completely non-resistant to all violence. There are others who've got a slightly more general pacifist view. There are other Christians who think that it is okay to fight what you might call a defensive war, just to defend ourselves against evil. And then there are other Christians who say, no, you can do more than that. You can fight to stop evil happening in the first place. So, and I reckon if we had a conversation, there'd be all sorts of disagreements among us. We would see things differently, wouldn't we? You know, I once had a church steward who said to me, well, he said, quite honestly, he said, Remembrance Sunday services are a waste of time. All you should do is turn up, he said, and say, war is a waste of time. Easy for him. So, I'm not going to take those sides this morning, but what I am going to do is say that there are some things where we can all unite together. And it's not so much in the looking back, it's more in the looking forward. And that's what Micah the prophet does in that reading Jill brought to us a moment ago. Micah, by the help of God's Spirit, has this great vision of what the good future under God would be. You know, that God's kingdom. And there are two things there that help us as Micah looks forward, and as we look forward and say, we do not want a world of injustice, and we do not want a world of war. The first of the two themes is this. It's God's judgment. Now, when I say God's judgment, hear me carefully. Because sometimes when we talk about God's judgment, all we think about is who is God going to send to heaven and who is God going to send to hell? And who's God going to condemn? But, you know, judgment's a bigger word than that. It's a much bigger word. When God makes a... What do you do when you make a judgment in daily life? What do you do? You make a distinction between right and wrong, don't you? Or you might work out what's true and what's false. Or you might say, what's good and what's bad? Well, God's judgment is like that too. And Micah has this vision where God is doing something like that in the last days. Just read you a little bit of the reading again. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, that's another word for Jerusalem. The word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. So Micah says that the key to peace is accepting God's judgments about what is true, what is good, and what is beautiful. We come together in harmony under that. Now, of course, we're a long way from a peace like that, and different world religions give competing ideas about what God is like, because frankly not all the religions of the world are the same. That's a big misconception in the world. And not only that, more and more in our society, appeals to God are being shut out from the public square. We hear a lot about people saying you shouldn't force religion down people's throats, but actually more and more in our public life, irreligion is being shoved down people's throats. Let me give you one example. If you want to do youth work as a Christian, don't ever apply for a grant to Children in Need. Because Children in Need will not let you do anything religious with the money. However much Christians give to Children in Need, it's not allowed under their terms. Now, of course, we shouldn't be forcing our convictions on people. If we go around trying to force our convictions as Christians on people, that would confirm many of society's worst suspicions about us. But this all does call for Christians to be present and active in the public world, advocating for what God judges to be true and good, but in a humble way. We have to do it in a humble way. We advocate for what we believe God would say to our society. So here we are in the first week of the election campaign. We can pray for the Christians in all the different political parties who are seeking to be faithful to Jesus in their political calling. Here we are, where there's so much division in our nation. Maybe Brexit is just a symptom of bigger divisions. We've got all the problems of fake news. You know, what are the Russians up to? What are the Chinese up to in trying to influence things? We know that most of the political parties are going to make claims that are not necessarily 100% true, don't we? And if you want to check out all of them on a neutral, go and look up an organisation called Full Fact on the internet. What we need from Christians now is people who will be truth tellers and peacemakers. We might not have actual war, but we will have increasingly violent words between people in our society if we do not have people who will stand up for truth. And of course, the trouble is, even if we don't have war, the trouble is, the more we get the more violent words, the more is the danger that some of the more unhinged members of our society do carry it out. You've only got to look at the murder of Joe Cox MP 2 or 3 years ago to see that. So, let's pray for the Christians who are called into politics. Let's pray also for the Christians who are called into other parts of our public life, the Christians in the media, the Christians in the arts, the Christians in technology, and other influential areas. And maybe some of us need to ask, is God calling me to play a part in public life? To be his humble speaker for truth? It might be a call to civic office. It might not. Don't rule it out. It might be as simple as writing a letter to the newspaper about something. Maybe our nation doesn't know it, but it's in great need of Christians who will publicly speak up for the ways of Jesus Christ and do so in a Christ-like way. On a day like today, when we want to say that we do not want to go back to the ways of injustice and war, it's worth us Christians asking if any of us are being called to a more public role in the truth and the judgments of God. So that's the first thing I wanted to share. The second of the two things I wanted to share from Micah is this. Having thought about God's judgments, the second thing is to think about God's compassion. God's compassion. So a bit later in the reading. In that day, declares the Lord, I will gather the lame. I will assemble the exiles and those I have brought to grief. I will make the lame my remnant, those driven away by a strong nation. The Lord will rule over them in Mount Zion from that day and forever. So, a little bit of history. The vision of blessing in Micah comes after a time when Micah has talked about how wicked God's people are. And he knows that means exile in another land, taken away from their homeland. But that's not the end of the story. Because here we find compassion. God is restoring broken people. He forgives and he brings people together. He makes the weak strong. He grants sinners a place in his people and in the land. So there's good news. And it's God's compassion that we also need today. We can't put our names to a creed that says only the strong survive. God has a heart for the weak. We can't stand idly by while our society refuses to practice forgiveness. Hardly surprising when it cuts its ties with Jesus. Look at all those times when the media reports a news story and says that something is unforgivable. And note what things they do decide are unforgivable as opposed to other things. Notice how, and we're going to see more and more of this in the election campaign, when someone gets involved in the world publicly, it might be in politics, it might be in music or all sorts, you notice how someone goes and trawls back through all their social media stuff from when they were quite young to find something embarrassing or awful that they said. You notice that? And you notice how there's absolutely no forgiveness for the foolishness of youth or whatever. There's trial by media. Does that sound like a society at peace? It doesn't to me. What does a society like that need? Does it not need a compassionate God? A compassionate God whose restoring love is seen most clearly in Jesus? Doesn't it need that? You know, we look back as Christians to Jesus on the cross. There we find our forgiveness. And then we look forward to God's kingdom, which is where forgiveness leads us. We look forward to a kingdom where there's reconciliation, where nobody is spiteful or malicious anymore. We look back to where people stop conniving and politicking in all sorts of places. When we stop stabbing one another in the back. Because we know what it is to be restored and forgiven by God. And if we know that that's what God has done for us, then how do we treat others? It's like this. We need peace in God's world. And while much of that depends on what happens in the public square, and we need Christians there, as I've already said, as well as the big public stuff, we need what we practice in our ordinary relationships. All the stuff that will never make a headline on the 10 o'clock news. As a church, we need to be a community of peace. Do we forgive? Do we prevent bullies from causing harm? All sorts of things you could think of there. But I want to bring this to a conclusion. Like I said at the beginning, we might not all remember the wars. And we might not all agree on our views about war and peace. But neither of those bumps in the road need to stop us honouring those who have sacrificed much for peace and justice. And as we think, how are we going to live today, then we all have a calling to do something for the sake of a peaceful and just world, and for the sake of God's coming kingdom. So, if any of us are called into the public arena, humbly to stand for God's judgments and truth there, then that honours those who suffered so much in the wars. And when we do the small things that make for peaceable relationships, we're doing the same. Because we're putting together the building blocks for God's kingdom community, and we're doing it on the foundation of Jesus himself. So perhaps today, as we remember, maybe each one of us can ask, how am I putting in the building blocks for God's peaceable kingdom? Amen. Now, here's what we're going to do. I hope you can all see the rainbow's blanket. If Nelly and Ella can just step aside. So I'm going to pray the usual prayer. You're not able to lift it a little higher, are you? Can you? Over in front of your faces? I'm going to pray the prayer for the offering. And then, girls, I'm going to ask you just to come with me. And we're going to lay the blanket up there on the table. Is that all right? Okay, but first of all, the prayer. God our Father, we offer these gifts. We offer ourselves. Use us for the sake of the peace of Jesus and for your kingdom. Amen. Right, girls, come with me.
We come together for a time of intercession, of prayer for the people, our people and our world. We remember those people we know, those people close to us who are in difficult times, and those people we don't know, those people around the world who are struggling with things day in, day out. Let us pray together. Lord, we pray. In resurrection hope for your world, we pray for the lone voice of conscience crying in the wilderness, for the single voice speaking out against the babble of indifference and neglect, for pressure groups exposing injustice, and for the church speaking to a godless world. We pray for refugees fleeing from violence and having trouble finding a welcome. For those who have resettled but still long for the land of their birth. For young people leaving home to seek security or love. For those ill-treated by their marriage partner. And for children caught up in a cycle of abuse. We pray for those whose morale is low because life has become a cul-de-sac, because of illness in themselves or loved ones, because of grief or bereavement, because of employment or lost opportunity. We pray for your church in its mission and service, especially for those with dwindling numbers. May your resurrection power give hope for those who struggle to be the conscience of society as part of their witness. May your resurrection power give courage for this congregation as we witness to our town and our generations. May your resurrection power give faith. In remembrance of those throughout time, all over the world, who have died in war, we pray urgently today that children, women and men, may become makers of peace. We pray for children growing up in violent surroundings or thinking, talking and playing in warlike ways. God, give to your people a new challenge, new ways in which to test their strength, in sharing power and risking non-violence. Lord, though our prayers may be small and weak, may those for whom we have prayed hear your eternal word, that nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God, in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We now say together the prayer that Jesus taught us in whatever version you feel comfortable. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is a new one. Again, it's from the Iona community. The worship group have practiced it, so hopefully they will know it quite reasonably. But it is hymn number 721. What shall we pray for those who have died?
Thank you.
We're going to have another poem now. I'm going to read the classic, one of the classic Remembrance Day poems. So please use this time for reflection and memory. In Flanders fields the poppies grow, between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky, the larks, still bravely singing, fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields. When you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow we gave our today. We sing our final hymn, number 313. Thine be the glory, risen conquering sun. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won.
Thank you.
Please do join us for tea, coffee, and possibly biscuits out in the foyer through there. As we go into this week, put peace into each other's hands, and like a treasure, hold it. Protect it like a candle flame, with tenderness, enfold it. Put Christ into each other's hand. He is love's deepest measure. In love, make peace, give peace a chance, and share it like a treasure. Amen. Please do take poppy seeds as you leave, if you wish to.